This was all done in the name of the consumer, yet none of it is good for the consumer.
All sellers think, oh, my house is the most special house, it's the best house on the market. No, it is a house.
And that's what the news had everyone believing, which was the most frustrating thing from the reporting, was that it's gone, right? That's the headline, it's gone.
You know, these sellers that, you know, supposedly were just duped into paying a buyer's agent commission, I'm pretty sure they didn't complain when they were buying the house that they didn't have to pay anything.
Or do they even know that they have the ability to ask for repairs? And, you know, if they don't, do you think the other agent's going to speak up?
Yeah, exactly.
No.
So the thing that I will tell you is, real estate agents, don't freak out. The real estate world is on fire with news of the proposed NAR settlement. And it's not made any better by terrible reporting from the media. So here we are as agents left to figure out exactly how to handle this information and to deal with the new real estate market that's coming. The other thing that's been incredibly disappointing is our real estate leadership, who's commenting on this stuff with the media, is doing a terrible job and using these as opportunities only to plug their own business and not to really tell the truth about what's going on in the world, in the real estate world. And so we're here to do that today. We're here to talk about the facts. We're here to talk about what to do in the midst of an uncertain world. What's real, what's not, what's fear-based, and how to move forward with confidence and to separate yourself as a true professional in the new market. So let's go ahead and talk about it. The first thing, let's just talk about the facts of the NAR settlement. First, this is a proposed settlement. It has not been finalized yet. So there's still a lot to figure out. And I think people are rushing to hit the panic button. And I'm not saying that this proposed settlement is not going to happen. It probably will. But there's still some, you know, variables to figure out in all of this. So
yeah, some of the finer points of the agreement themselves, I'm sure, are still yet to be worked out. What they all include, exactly what changes are going to occur because of them, things like that is, I don't even know that they've thought about some of that yet.
Yeah. The largely when the, and here's basically the proposed settlement deals with just a couple of things, but one of them is that there will no longer be a buyer compensation block listed on the MLS. So that information will have to be figured out some other way. You'll either have to call the agent and get it, and or we don't know exactly how that information is going to be communicated.
Somewhere off MLS. That's right. All we know. Right. Off of the MLS.
But I think the assumption is that buyer broker compensation is eliminated completely, and that is not the case.
And that's what the news had everyone believing, which was the most frustrating thing from the reporting, was that it's gone, right? That's the headline. It's gone.
Yeah.
And it's not gone. Actually, NAR gives us three different ways that we can pursue compensation moving forward, specifically three ways. And it's just frustrating that they took that and said, you know, compensation's gone for the buyer broker. End of real estate as it exists.
It's just terrible information. You said you were talking to your friend who's like somewhere around, he's like a journalist or something.
Yeah, he works for some of the big boys in, you know, that segment. And he said, you would be amazed at how often this happens in different industries. He's like, you're hyper aware of it now because you're in real estate and you're seeing it play out and you know the specifics of the settlement and you're seeing how the reporting doesn't line up. He's like, this happens every day in every industry. He just like, you're just more aware.
That's one of the things I learned in the military is, you know, we would have some sort of, you know, military operation or something and it would be reported on based on some time in Iraq. And it was unbelievable how consistently wrong they were, and they were just using things that would be attractive or get eyes. Same thing is happening here. There's clickbait headlines to get people to click on it. You look at some of the language that's in there, it's not substantive, or it's just factually incorrect. And so it's just been fascinating. And you're right. The only reason that we know how wrong it is because we're in the industry. And
exactly.
We're watching.
And if they had reported, hey, everything's largely staying the same, it's just semantics.
Yeah.
Nobody clicks on that.
Yeah.
It's 6% is gone is what gets the clicks. Yeah. So they have to write in such a way that makes people click. And if you were to read any of those, you know, articles about what the specifics of the agreement were, you would be like, what's happening here? What did I just click on? Like, this is completely inaccurate.
Yeah. The other part of the proposed settlement is that buyers agents will need to sign a buyer broker agreement before working with a buyer. And I don't think that this particular thing is necessarily bad. You know, if you guys have, are listeners of this podcast, you know that we have always pushed for a buyer consultation so that you, as the real estate agent, can communicate clearly with your clients what's going to happen in the process and get ahead of any potential objections or potential problems in the future of the transaction. And so a buyer consultation is a good thing. This is papering it up and understanding your role as their real estate agent and speaking with them about it. But
this is the one. This is one of the points in the agreement where I'm not sure how many specifics have been laid out, because if you read the whole 108-page agreement, you'll see that they say you have to sign one before touring properties, and it needs to include language about compensation in it. So that leads me to believe there's going to be a new piece of paper, not the existing buyer brokered agreement that occurs in a lot of states today, but a different one, or at least added language. And so what that applies to, if it just applies to that group of homes, if it applies to the entire relationship, we don't know yet. And I don't think we will know until we get a little bit closer to when that's supposed to go into effect, which is in mid-July. So that's one of the kind of up in the air things, in my opinion, with the release of the agreement.
So what I want to tell you guys, first, if you are a new listener, please like and subscribe to this podcast and take some time. Go to theagentbridge.com. Leave us a comment or rating, please, in any of those platforms. But the first thing that, what were we going to say?
I was just going to say the last kind of a thing of the agreement was that if your brokerage did less than $2 billion, that you would be released from liability. That's really the only other change. So basically what we heard from all of this is it's going to play out exactly how it always has, or how it has for the last couple of decades. It's just going to be done a little bit differently.
Yeah, exactly. So the thing that I will tell you is, real estate agents, don't freak out. This is not as earth-shattering as the media would like to make everybody think it is. What's mostly going to happen is it's going to change the nature of your conversations with your buyers and your sellers, and you're going to have to do more explanation and potentially do more negotiation. So don't freak out. It's just going to be an alteration in the marketplace and an alteration in the way that you communicate with your clients, because where this is really going to have impact is how you communicate as a professional.
That's right. We did a Facebook Live on this today, as of the day we're recording this episode, and one of our listeners had a funny comment, and I totally agree. It's that people felt duped into paying the buyer agent commission, yet we're going to make it harder to find out what the buyer agent commission truly is now by removing it from the MLS and hiding it deeper on the internet. So that nobody really knows exactly what we're getting paid or how we're getting paid. Right. There are going to be a lot of added statements to, I'm sure, a lot of the documentation that gets signed and throughout the process that states who's getting paid and by whom. But I just thought that was funny.
Yeah, I think there's going to be two things that happen here when this all sort of takes effect or gets launched in the marketplace. The first thing is there's going to be a short-term reaction, which is going to be relatively chaotic, right? You're going to have buyers and sellers confused. There are going to be attempts at extreme innovation in the marketplace where, you know, some real estate agents or brokerages are going to go out there and say, zero buyer compensation, only 3% to list your house, whatever, right? They're going to just use this as a marketing concept. And I'm not saying that you shouldn't use it as a marketing concept, but I'm saying there's going to be this sort of chaotic element to it. And then you're going to find long-term where this is going to settle, right? Which is largely going to be not that far from where we are right now. You might have more conversations. You may have, a different perspective. You may have different perspectives in the marketplace. There's certainly going to be more conversations around it. But long-term, I think you're going to find that it's going to settle back generally where we are right now, which is, hey, look, and I said this in our Facebook Live today, I'm going to tell my sellers that they need to offer buyer's agent compensation for a couple of reasons. Number one, because you want to create competition. So we want to engage the largest amount of buyers possible. Well, the way that I'm going to engage the most amount of buyers possible is I'm going to engage the ones that have signed buyer brokerage agreements with their real estate agents that doesn't put the buyer at a disadvantage, right? Because if I've got real estate agents out there that says, hey, I've got a buyer brokerage agreement signed with them and they've got to pay me 3%. So if you're only offering 1%, then that means they're going to have to pay 2%. So now that buyer's at a disadvantage to purchase that listing. Okay, so, and this is the thing. Sellers think, all sellers think, oh, my house is the most special house, it's the best house on the market. No, it is a house, right? And if you're going to make it punitive for a buyer to purchase your home, you're eliminating that buyer, right? And so we want the largest buying group possible. So I'm going to encourage my sellers to continue to offer a buyer's agent compensation.
Absolutely.
No question. And when that real estate agent calls me, I'm going to say, yeah, we're offering such and such percentage on this. Let us know what we can do to help.
Yeah. And you just touched on something there that's the most frustrating aspect of this entire thing to me, which is that this was all done in the name of the consumer, yet none of it is good for the consumer. Yeah. Because you have people that are struggling to purchase first-time home buyers, can't get in a home, like, you know, unprecedented, just how unaffordable homes are right now. And yet we're making them more unaffordable by the fact that they now have to pay their agent out of their own pocket. So that's not great for the consumer. You have consumers that are now going to go into legal situations to real estate contracts, have no idea what they're doing, and they're unrepresented. Can't be good for the consumer.
Yeah.
So just really terrible situation for consumers, even though it was done in the name of, you know, helping out the consumer.
Right. I think you'll see also a potential increase in unrepresented buyers.
Totally.
And so these unrepresented buyers as a group will start to work their way down the totem pole in the, you know, in terms of like the consumer pool, right? So what unrepresented buyers are going to be known for is not being educated on the process, not being guided through the process. They're going to be known for making lowball offers. They're going to be known. So basically the unrepresented buyer is going to become the for sale by owner of the buy side. And so, you know, and you as a real estate agent in most states, you have a fiduciary to the seller. So you can't represent that buyer. You can only write a paper up a contract for them. And I don't know about you guys, if you have been a listing agent and have worked with an unrepresented buyer, it a lot of times can be a massive headache because you can't advise them. You're trying to keep a deal together. And then you've got uneducated buyers on the buy end that have no idea what they're doing. And they're a lot of times end up busting the deal.
Yeah. Or worse, just getting into a bad deal because they don't know how to negotiate or navigate their way through it.
Well, I'll give you an example. Just we work with, you know, I teach our agents and we teach this in Six Figure Real Estate School. We teach about for sale by owners because they're great conversion rates. But one of the things that we come up against is people say, our agents will say, hey, I called this for sale by owner and they said they're already under contract. So do I follow up with them? And I always say, you absolutely follow up with them because they have the highest percentage of busting that deal because they have no idea what's normal and in the real estate process, in the transaction process. And so, you know, what happens? You know, we know this, repairs come up. And then you've got this basically debate between the buyer and seller on what the repairs should be. And that's where it's the most emotionally charged. And that's where deals are most likely to bust with a real estate agent. How do you think it's going to go when there is maybe not a real estate agent on one side of this transaction?
Yeah. And do they even know that they have the ability to ask for repairs? And, you know, if they don't, do you think the other agent's going to speak up?
Yeah, exactly.
No. Like, I mean, they're walking into situations they know nothing about. And it's not their fault. It's not like they should know. But, you know, it's terrible for the consumer.
Right. And so when you're going, again, this is largely going to be about your conversation and explaining these things to potential buyers that are going to work with you or to potential sellers that are going to work with you, right? How this is actually going to work and how to create the best outcome for them. And the best outcome, frankly, is the way we're doing it.
Yeah.
The way we do it, the way that we offer cooperative compensation so that we can have represented buyers is the best way to do it, and also not penalizing the buyers. The other thing is, like, you know, these sellers that, you know, supposedly were just duped into paying a buyer's agent commission, I'm pretty sure they didn't complain when they were buying the house that they didn't have to pay anything.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, save for the very small percentage of people that have a place to sell and they have nowhere to go after that, whether they're going into like a retirement community or something like that.
Yeah.
I mean, most everyone benefits on the other side, right? So you sell a place, You might pay a commission. You go to buy. You benefit on that side.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Comes out in the wash.
Exactly. So that's the part that I, you know, largely don't understand is, you know, a lot of this is semantics. But
the other frustrating thing is NAR felt the need yesterday to say, hey, we never mandated 6% commission. Well, you don't have to say that. Nobody thought you mandated 6% commission, except for maybe the consumers out there who filed the lawsuits.
Yeah.
Like, I never walked in and said, I feel handcuffed. I'm sorry. All I can offer you is 6% on this deal, Mr. Seller. Like, nobody said that. Like, we walked in and it was a negotiation from the start. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, they're probably like, hey, I know the standard 6%. Is there anything you can do for me?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, you know, it turns out I can do 4.5.
And I'll give you the friends and family discount or whatever. Yeah.
And so that's always been a starting point. Sellers have always known. And, you know, we've always said, or at least our brokerage has always said, hey, look, we'll start at 4.5. We'll still offer 2.5 to the buyer's agent or 3, and we'll keep the rest. And it's always been above board. Like, I've never walked into a conversation where that wasn't talked about to some degree. Now, some people are like, hey, I want the best service. So I know I got to pay 6%. Mm-hmm. And it just so happens that the transfer taxes in Tennessee are lower than California, where I came from. I'm happy to pay that.
Yeah.
And that's happened too. But, you know, never once have I walked in and said, sorry, guys, NAR says I got to do 6. Nothing I can do here.
Yeah, the whole concept is largely ridiculous. But, and you know, I could say, you know, more about this, you know, largely being, I think, a cash grab from attorneys. But yeah, there has never been a situation where you've just said, yeah, we're forced to do this. We have to pay 3% to the buyer's agent or whatever the case may be. So, yeah, a bunch of nonsense. But again, you know, this is really going to come down to where you're having in the conversations with your clients. Again, so on the on the buy side, okay, so I want to talk about working with buyers and having signed representation agreements with buyers and developing that relationship and making sure that they understand. You know, typically what I'm going to do with my buyers is I'm going to say, you know, at this point, and by the way, I reserve the right to change my opinion later based on the information that continues to come out, but this is how I'm thinking right now. Okay, which is, if I'm working with a buyer, I'm going to say, hey, listen, I'm going to do my best to secure compensation from the seller. That's what's normal. In the case that I can't, I will work with you guys for X amount of dollars.
A fixed fee.
A fixed fee, right? That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to say, hey, I'm going to work to get what I can out of the seller. If I can't, it's going to be a fixed fee of X amount of dollars for me to represent you on the buy side. This has been going on in the commercial world forever. Right. You've always had to, like in every commercial deal, you've got to call the seller and you have to say, call the listing agent, say, hey, how much commission is being offered? And then from there, you might go back to your buyers and said, hey, I'm working on the commission on this. Give me, you know, give me a day. Or you might say, hey, they're not offering any commission, but I'm willing to help you guys for X amount of dollars. Right. Yep. That has always happened in the commercial world. So
yeah,
it's just going to change it for residents. There's just not going to be an assumed.
Yeah.
Buyer's fee.
Well, that's buyer's a nice and clean way to do it. And it's one of the offered ways that NAR has given us going forward to secure compensation. You can work for a percentage or a fixed fee from your clients. You can get it from the selling agent, or you can get it from seller concessions. Now, you might work for a fixed fee. Somebody else might say a percentage. Hearing you say that, I like the fixed fee from the standpoint that you would never have a buyer that say, well, you're incentivized to drive the price up so that you get more money because you're getting a percentage.
Right.
The fixed fee fixes that. But either way, I mean, you can secure a portion of the compensation from your buyer and a portion from the seller, a portion from, you know, the listing agent. However, but the fact of the matter is you've got to spell it out in the agreement. It can't be as much as I can get or anything like that. It has to be very specific going forward per the agreement.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, again, and not to be too repetitive, but again, these are conversations that you need to have and spell out, you know, with your clientele, hey, what's the best scenario here, or what's the best thing for you to do to create the best outcome for you as the consumer? And
I think reading all of this and digesting it, I think you could bundle it up like this. Largely nothing changes.
Yeah.
I mean, the way we do real estate now is going to be conducted the same way in the future, just done off MLS.
Yeah.
And the great negotiators and the people that can spell out exactly what value they provide are going to win here.
Yes.
And I think you can really boil it down to that. It's just like largely nothing changes. I mean, we are still offered ways to get compensated, and everything we've done in the past is just done in a different location.
Yeah, exactly. And so that's what I would encourage all of you is use this as an opportunity to separate, to differentiate yourself as a professional. Become a better negotiator. Become better at explaining the process to buyers and sellers. Make sure that you're having buyer and seller consultations so that you can show them how this works. Have resources available to your buyers and sellers. This is a unique opportunity, and the people who are going to win are the ones that distance themselves from the amateurs.
That's right.
So use this as a massive opportunity for you. Use it as such, become better, and meet that elevated requirement that the market is now requiring of you. All right. Okay. Any other final words?
No, I mean, just the other question that came up a lot in our live today was just that, why did NAR settle, right? Why yeah, if they,
right.
if they said that they did nothing wrong, why did they settle? Well, you have to realize that they're getting wrapped up into so many lawsuits now that they would have fought this in court for years and it would have bled them dry at some point.
Yeah.
So to settle and to release a lot of people from liability now for a specific amount of money rather than leaving it open-ended, I think was their way of saying, hey, we don't see the light at the end of the tunnel here, so we're just going to pay this amount of money and be done with it.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. NAR, they were just like, we got to wrap this up and end it before more stuff gets piled on and we're spending another 2 years in court. So yes, and really them settling it benefited you, right? So that it didn't go any further than this, and largely that ruling is benign. So again, use this as the opportunity to advance your professionalism, to make yourself a better real estate agent, and keep your nose down. You know, don't listen to the media. This is all going to come down to you and what you're willing to do and the conversations that you have on a daily basis.
That's right.
Okay. All right, guys. Thank you so much for joining us. We will see you next week.